Welcome to Showdown. I am Mark Kaysen, and it is Thursday, the 28th of March, and we are continuing to march on. One more day in March tomorrow, and then Donald is down to 15 days before he has to face the music. And interestingly enough, and I'm sort of surprised by this, to tell you the truth, but the United States government, you know, we follow our rules, but I'm just not sure if it had to be this way. But apparently it does. Donald is going to get regular briefings from the government, classified information, because he's legitimately running for president. He's the guy. And so shouldn't be anything else, except that he is on trial for stealing classified information, for withholding classified information, and from every appearance, this guy is breaking the law in every way you can imagine. And so here we are. But he's going to get his briefings. He will get that. What are they going to tell him? You know, the favorite thing for me to recall all the way back to the beginning of his presidency, hard to believe that he was that. But at any rate, he was in the Oval Office with the Russians, keeping the American journalists out of the Oval Office, and he was showing classified information to the Russians. They were all high-fiving on Russian media. And that's the guy who is going to be getting classified briefings. And honestly, does anybody trust that he's going to keep these under wrap and that he's going to treat the information properly? I have no doubt that this is like an open line from the United States government to the Russians. Open line. Just part of the problems that we have here, and that's just the reality of where we are in this election. But I do think it's amazing that he will have the opportunity to funnel information directly to the Russians. I understand he's the Republican candidate. I get that. But I also get that this is a dangerous person who has already shown information to people that he shouldn't have. And he is, of course, going to trial. But at any rate, he's going to trial on the 15th, April 15th. And that is, without question, where the real problems for Donald Trump are going to begin in earnest. And it couldn't happen to a better guy. He's earned all of this, and he's going to get it. And in the meantime, taking a look back down to Georgia, there's some interesting things happening over there. For example, Fannie Willis, who is now allowed to move forward with the trial by virtue of the decision of the judge, well, she's under a little bit of scrutiny because Donald is going to attempt to get her removed from the case again. But this time he has nowhere to go on it, and she's not going to be removed from anything. But this is, you know, his effort to mix everything up, because look, The evidence is there. This couldn't be clearer. Donald is a man who has broken the law in every way possible. Espionage accusations against this man. You'll remember what he said about General Milley. He wanted him executed because of some perception on Donald's part that he wasn't loyal enough. You know, it's hard to even imagine that we're here, but we are. And furthermore, Fani Willis is not so dumb herself, because she does have this case moving already, and she is working through Judge Chutkan, which is the other case that's on hold for a minute, because the Supreme Court is reviewing this immunity question, which is absolutely going to go against Donald. It's just a matter of how long they can hold it up. I guess Alito and Thomas are largely responsible for attempting to hold this up. And in the meantime, Fani Willis is using the Chutkan case, because Trump, of course, is screaming that somehow he believes that this case should be tossed out completely in Georgia on First Amendment grounds. Yeah, you've got a First Amendment right to attempt to overthrow a free and fair election in the United States. That's his claim. Of course, he also claims he's got the right as president to order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate his rival, Joe Biden. Why are we doing this? Why are we going through these bizarre conversations? Well, I'll tell you why. Because there are just enough people in the Republican Party to keep this insanity going for a brief time longer. But look at the polls today, because the polls are telling you exactly where this whole thing is going, and it's not going to end well for Donald Trump. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing. It's apparent that the new polls all say that Donald Trump is losing in the swing states, in the overall election, that it's flipped all the way back, and that Trump is now losing to Joe Biden. But it's far worse than that, because this is the reason I'm going to tell you why Donald Trump might as well pack it in. He needs to figure that he's either going to jail, or he's going to have ankle bracelets while he's out in California raking the leaves, because I can tell you that women are coming down against Trump across the country by 60 to 35. That is a landslide.
He's got a loadout right there. He's got a loadout in front of us.
Okay. Little incoming noise. Whoever that was. But okay, well, you know, it's probably the Trump campaign working with the Russians to do everything possible to stop us from telling the truth. But we've got Joe. Joe stopped the Russians. Good work, Joe.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Can't let the Russians get away with this sort of thing. Anyway, 60 to 35, the women are saying, forget Donald Trump. Now, I guess that there are some men out there on the other side of this thing that are keeping Donald somehow within some sort of striking distance here and there. But I can tell you right now, with a 60-35 advantage, women against him, there's nowhere for him to go. He's just not going to be close. I can tell you, in the United States, you know, a 10-point loss in a presidential election would be a landslide. I think that this is one that could approach that level, because women are going to be a major part of this. One thing for sure, they want health care. And the second thing is, and this is even apparent in Missouri specifically, there was an article about this in the Post-Dispatch just a couple of days ago, and that is we're number 44 out of 50 states in people, women, having pregnancies and surviving. We're number 44. We're way down the list. And the Missouri legislature, along with the governor, I guess they're talking about trying to come up with $4 million to try to put a dent into this problem. And I hate to tell you, it's a bigger problem than $4 million. And Missouri is just a small part of this. Women are dying in childbirth. This is not good. The United States is far behind other industrial countries, which is crazy. And in our own country, black women are three times more likely to die in childbirth than white women. We've got trouble. And that's why 60 to 35 is not a joke. 60 to 35 makes all the sense in the world. Women are concerned. They don't like what's happening. And they want to do something about it to save their own lives. I mean, it's that simple. This isn't about that other nonsense. It's not about Roe v. Wade. It's about far more than that. This is serious. The numbers in this country are terrible. And the result is that women are responding. Now, you probably saw that there was a legislative race in Alabama. This was a local situation in, you know, state legislature in Alabama just a few days ago. And the woman who ran in Alabama won by a landslide. She was easily elected into the Alabama legislature, and she's a Democrat. That's Alabama. This is happening all over the country. It's been happening for several years, and the trend is continuing, and based on what we just saw in Alabama, it's accelerating. So all I can say is that while Donald runs around the country cursing out judges and their families and relatives and people in the courtrooms and just acting like a complete maniac, people are responding appropriately as the pollsters come to them and say, what should we do? The pollsters are saying, should we elect this guy? And the respondents are saying, and especially the women, absolutely not. So I know it looks like this is somehow close because of these things where, you know, for example, I mean, if it says 45-43 in a national poll in favor of Joe Biden, believe me, it's far worse than that. Add up the numbers. 45-43 is only 88%. That's another 12% out there that isn't sure what to say. And part of that is because they're upset over the fact that Donald Trump is old, that Joe Biden is old, and that Donald Trump is also old. People don't want either of them. They really don't. They don't want, but that's what they've got. That's what they've got. So they absolutely have to decide. And at the moment, if 12% are saying, we're not sure, I'm telling you that it's going to break all the way down the line for Joe Biden. All the way. And the big reason for it is going to be women. That is going to be the entire story of this election. It's the women. It's going to be big. And that's not just somebody saying, I hope it is, or if we say it loud enough, maybe it'll happen. This is just where we're going. Election after election, whether it's initiatives in the states or it's special elections in the Congress, in state legislatures, in governor's races, all the way down the line, the Democrats keep winning. I mean, that's just a fact. That is what's happening. The Democrats are winning because, well, first of all, Donald's crazy, and a lot of people realize it. And I understand they're a little worried about Joe Biden's age. Frankly, I'm not, because I'd be perfectly happy with Kamala Harris as the president, and I think she would be excellent, not just good, excellent. And all these people who have these reservations about her, I don't even know what they're talking about. What has she done that's a problem? I'd love to hear what Kamala Harris has done that is disturbing you. And if you would like to call me and tell me, you can actually weigh in here on my telephone line. And I'm just going to make sure that I've got this correctly done, but I think I do. And so you can call on 314-471-1968. That's 314-471-1968. And you will be on the air with me here in the studio, and we're going to give that a try. I haven't done it yet, but this will be the first time we're going to try it. And it looks like it says it's connected. So let's believe it. And again, 314-471-1968. And so we'll give that a call or a chance on the calls. And then the bottom line question I have for you is, why are you concerned about Kamala Harris? That's my question. There are a lot of people who are, or at least they say they are. I don't know what it's about, but I'd love to hear some feedback on that. And so we'll see if that happens. 314-471-1968, and we'll see how that goes. Okay. So there's another development out here in terms of Republicans trying to save themselves. And this one's in Kentucky. In Kentucky, there is an effort underway to pass a law, and it looks like it's going to easily pass, which will prevent the governor, Andy Beshear, who just won easily in Kentucky, in a place where a Democrat should not have done nearly so well, but he won. I believe it was by 5 points. And that, again, like I say, in a very Republican state. And here he's now the Democratic governor. And the thing that the legislature is worried about is that they feel that if somehow McConnell were to just walk away, or I guess they're worried about him dropping dead or something, but they're saying that the governor can no longer make the replacement choice for that Senate position, and that instead they've got a way cooked up, so they'd have a special election, and they feel that they would then be able to replace that senator. And the way they're saying it is they're saying, look, this is a way to get the people to make the decision, not the governor. They want to make this more Democratic. But no, what they're afraid of is they're afraid of the legitimately elected governor making the choice that would go against the Republican Party. So, you know, they've got a huge advantage, a supermajority in the state legislature in Kentucky, the Republicans do. And so that's what they're trying to do. And they'll be successful in this one. They'll be able to take the decision away from the sitting governor. But in the long run, this is not going to stop the fact that Republicans are getting trounced everywhere. It's that simple. So they may think that they've got a way around reality, but there's only one way around reality, and that's to stop Donald Trump. That will stop this mess. The Republican Party would have a chance in elections again if Donald Trump were gone. That would end the whole problem for the country and for the Republican Party as well. But instead, they're taking themselves down. The Republican Party is taking themselves down, and they're doing it primarily with women. So we'll keep an eye on that, and I think you're going to see big things happening there. Let me go to a little bit of local talk. I have a friend, a broadcasting friend, Maurice Scott, who might show up this afternoon. I hope he does, because there's a situation going on across the country for sure, and certainly here in our area locally, having to do with fights in schools. And, you know, I'd like to certainly talk to Maurice. I know that he's a coach in the East St. Louis School District, and so I'd like to get some feedback from him. East St. Louis is not the problem that principally is in front of us at the moment. It's really Hazelwood. And in Hazelwood, there were 8 more students who are possibly going to be tried as adults in the fight that led to that young girl having her head smashed into the concrete repeatedly. And this is not the first time that this has come up, that this discussion about how to charge people in these cases where fights get out of control. And some years back here in Missouri, it was decided that it would be open for the districts to charge students with being grown-ups, no longer as just minors, if they got into these serious fights. And at the time that this all happened, one of the questions that was raised was, is this being done because somebody thinks that this is a way to go under to go after young black students who are often in these fights in these inner city environments. And, you know, I've talked at length about this because, you know, there's a gentleman at Washington University. His name is Jeff Ward, and he's done some really excellent research, and it's considered by many people within the university arena to be very valid research that says that in places around the country where there has been considerable white violence historically against black people, that these are the areas where today we have excessive violence, black on black crime, that a lot of people, white supremacists principally, like to point to and say, look at how they're acting. They're out of control and they're doing it to themselves. But the research says otherwise. The research says that within these areas where the violence is pretty much out of control in some instances, that it is historical white violence against blacks that has really been the key factor that has been found to be at the heart of what's going on here. That this is not just black people making bad decisions. It is the historic racism against the black culture going back to 1619 that has set up all of the results that we look at pretty routinely and we feel like we've got some kind of a basis for making these decisions. But here we go. Let me get my phone. And Joe, is there something I have to do here?
It should be if you just...
Just hit it?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you on the air?
Yeah.
Okay. You are.
It's so, Jared, huh?
So this is, by the way, my little brother. Little. My little brother. Wait a second. Are you my little brother?
No. Okay, here's my question.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I don't quite understand how, for instance, how white people come into the conversation if there's a young black person pounding the head of another student into the ground.
Well, it's a very simple answer, Les. And as I always say, you know, it would help to go to college. Because this is a black professor at Washington University who has led the way with this research that has found that it is in areas where there has been historical white violence against black people where all of these crimes have taken place.
I have a question.
Yeah, I know you're going to try to say, "Well, it's just that girl who did it." Okay.
Well, so the girl doesn't have any responsibility.
Well, sure she does.
White. Oh, because I thought you were just blaming it on the white society.
I blame it on white people. Yes.
So, I mean, I could understand blaming her behavior maybe on the fact that she's grown up in a horrible situation. She's hanging around with a bunch of bad people. She's learned to be a bad person, I guess. But, you know, I just don't get your reasoning. So far, you haven't give me an example of how you could be right in what you're saying.
Well, sure. If you go to, say, East St. Louis,
right,
where in 1915... The white people in East St. Louis massacred black people. They lynched them. They beat them up. They did everything you could imagine that would be called racial violence against blacks.
By the way, was the girl that she pounded the head into the pavement, was she white?
You know, I have no idea.
Okay, I think the answer is yes, but that doesn't make a difference on what you're saying.
It wouldn't be different at all.
Okay.
Do you want an answer or you want to talk?
Yeah. Okay, go on. I have a question for you. Okay.
Well, the answer is that racial violence in this country is not just black on black. Okay? It's white people within those areas that are part of all of this, and it's caused by the historic relationships that have been set up there. See, I just brought up East St. Louis because you know East St. Louis is impoverished. It's got lots of trouble, and it's a difficult community for black people. And I say for black people because it's not white people over there who are suffering. The suffering is black people, and I'm telling you that the blame goes to the white people who have messed up these communities from long ago. So you wanted an example, and there it is. That's an example.
Communities have been messed up in the past, and therefore that's why this girl was smashing another girl's head into the pavement?
The answer is that girl is just part of the overall circumstance that affects people who live in these communities where racial violence has historically been dominant. I mean, that, you know, Hazelwood East is a principally black school district, and it's suffering from exactly the same kind of things that occur throughout the entire country. I mean, you can go to Los Angeles. You could be in Compton. You could be in St. Louis.
Sure.
I get that part.
I get that it could be in Compton and other areas that are impoverished.
Yeah, that are that way because of the historic white violence against black people in this country.
And how does that connect, though, to why this black girl would be? Well, why this girl would be pounding another girl's head into the pavement?
Les, I am telling you. I am telling you that there is extensive research.
That's my answer.
Wait, that shows that the behaviors that we're discussing, take place in areas where there has been a history of historic white violence against black people. Now, what you're asking is, why does this happen? I mean, we could guess on a lot of reasons why, but that's not the research.
So all you can say is there's research, but you don't know.
No,
you don't know why.
I can give you a pretty good explanation as to why, which I've already done, and you're not listening. I mean, there's this history of white violence against black people in these communities, and these communities end up being violent 50, 100 years later, and that's just what happens. People are mistreated.
Yeah.
People are mistreated. Circumstances in these areas are horrible, and we don't do anything to help them in these areas either.
Okay, so I think I understand. Let me say this.
Oh, good. You almost went to college.
Listen, forget the college business. That has nothing to do with it. No. So you're saying you could kind of compare it to some parents that are very bad parents, and they have a past of abusing their children. And after they abuse their children for long enough, it's possible that those children are going to end up, you know, being pretty bad children based on the abuse that their parents gave.
So are you surprised by that? I mean, that is easy research to look at. That people who have been mistreated by their families,
yeah,
the young people, yeah, are often the same people who do the similar violence to their families. I mean, that's well known.
Well, okay, so what's your solution?
Well, my solution is first of all, I'm going to sell a few products here, and if you hold on, then we'll figure out the answer to your question. So let's start with food. This is a great time to be thinking about where you're going to go to eat when you stop listening to this program. And the best place I can tell you to go is Wendy's, which is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road in Chesterfield Valley. And the food there is outstanding. Now, from what I understand, Les, I think you would probably eat all of this because I don't think you worry about calories, do you?
I do. I worry about them as I'm eating.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Okay, so first they've got baby back ribs, which I'll even eat. They've got great onion rings, hamburgers, patty melts, pizza, wings, smoked meats. It's a great restaurant. It really is. And they'll let you in, Les, even if you haven't gone to college. They'll take your money. And so they're at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road, and that's in Chesterfield Valley. That's Wendy's. And if you go there, I'm talking about you, Les, go and look for a man named Ben. He happens to be the owner, and he's a really nice person. And even you, I believe he would probably treat very, very well. I think you'd enjoy it. Great food. So that's Wendy's. Now, if you want jewelry, you can go to 4506 Hampton. That's Jewels on Hampton. And, you know, unfortunately, being on the phone right now, you can't see, but I'm holding up here in my left hand a watch. That watch is on the screen right now. That is a 45-year-old Seiko, and it's a gold Seiko watch, which it's great. I mean, it was expensive 45 years ago. It's a nice watch, and if you've got a watch like that and it's not working because, you know, after 45 years, I mean, everything isn't going to work. But if you go to Jewels on Hampton, they can fix it. They can fix any of your watches. They're really good at that. They also will create new jewelry for you. They're very creative. And in addition to that, if you've got something that you want made and want to tell them what it is, they'll do that for you too. They'll do everything. If you want to sell jewelry to them, they'll buy it at great prices. And also coins. Do you collect coins?
Foreign currency.
Foreign currency. Yeah. I don't even want to talk about it. Tell me one thing that you've collected that's foreign currency.
I have all kinds of German foreign currency, Russian foreign currency.
Okay, stop a second.
Japanese.
Stop for a second. What is the currency in Germany?
Marks.
You don't know.
Marks.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Of course. Currently, it's the euro, but if you're looking at something from years ago, it would be the Deutschmark.
But, okay, that's the same thing I was going to say.
Yeah, I'm sure you were. Anyway, I'm talking about...
I collect foreign currency.
Quiet. Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton in St. Louis asked for Al or AJ. AJ's the son, Al's the father. They are great jewelers, and it's a great jewelry store. Now, finally, I'm wearing my typically outstanding suit and tie, and that's as a result of doing business with the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. And they're on the corner of Forsyth and Central. And I know that even you've been there, haven't you, Les?
Yes, I have.
Did you buy a suit?
Yes, I did.
So long ago, you don't even remember. But
no, I bought a suit and I bought ties.
Okay. How expensive are the ties, Les?
$5.
$5. Very good. Excellent.
If you buy five of them, is it, then you get them for $4?
Four each, $20. Leslie, you're outstanding. I tell you, if you went to college, you'd do very well, in my opinion.
I went to college, by the way.
Yeah. For what, a week?
No, it was a little bit longer than that.
A little bit longer. Okay.
I took psychology, and that's all I know.
Yeah. Exactly. And by the way, you probably don't know this about the ties at the St. Louis Suit Company, but, you know, they're silk, $5. And if you bought the same exact tie from Donald Trump, first, he'd charge you $50. And secondly, those ties that he sold, they were self-choking ties. So they would choke you. You didn't know that.
Okay, go on.
Did you buy a Bible?
I did not.
Why? Donald will sell you one for $60.
I would buy one if it had his picture in it and stuff, because I'm a collector.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, at any rate, the St. Louis Suit Company is not selling Bibles. They're selling suits and ties and shirts and everything you can imagine that makes you look really good. And in another life, Leslie, you might be able to accomplish the same thing. Ask for Jay and Nick. They are the owners, along with the rest of the family that's there, and they're at Forsyth and Central in Clayton. Okay, so what questions do you have now, Les?
Okay, so what's your solution to the problem?
My solution to the problem is that you provide excellent, and I mean excellent, education for young black students all over the inner cities across the entire United States. And I guarantee you, if you did it, and you did it seriously with the intent of creating a great army of black scholars that you would then send to college and send them there for free.
Sounds like you just wrote the first chapter of some book.
Yeah. I will tell you, if you do that,
you
will solve the issues of crime in the inner cities across the United States. And Les, listen, certainly you know that back in the early days of slavery, well, throughout slavery, but it started, you know, right from the beginning, slaves were not allowed to read. In fact, if they read,
I have a question for you.
Wait!
I'd like to hear that.
If they learned to read, the white person who taught them could be killed as well as the black person who learned to read.
So here's my question:
sure.
Are the leaders in these improvised communities? Sorry, are they trying to do something about this problem?
No.
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 You know that they should, right?
Well, of course they should.
Well, then why aren't they? Why don't they know that they should do that for themselves? Why?
Well, because as Onion Horton said years ago, the white people who run those places don't care.
Are the black, are the blacks, do they have any power in their own communities?
Often, often not. And that's,
they don't have black leaders.
Often they do not have the power that they should have because white people inject themselves into these situations and try to run things where really they don't belong because their intentions are horrible.
And okay, so you're saying, you're not saying, okay, well, maybe you are saying, get the white people out of a community like this and let the blacks take care of it. Right?
No, I'm actually saying that whoever controls these communities should be providing the best level of education for young people that is possible. And when I say that, I would compare what I'm talking about to places like Clayton or Parkway or
the families of these children, the parents of these children in these families, do they know that this is what needs to be done, or do they have problems themselves that they have to deal with in order to get to the point of understanding to do something about it?
Okay, they know that that's the solution. They know that that's the solution, but they may not know how to implement it because they're not the teachers. They're actually parents who have themselves been mistreated in the educational system of this country.
Okay. So how do you get the parents to get their shit together?
What kind of talk is that?
How?
Let me ask you this. Who were your parents? Where did you learn to talk like that on the air, huh?
It's a word. Don't make more of a word than it is. Okay, yeah. Go on.
Well, I suggest that you get yourself under control. Hey, Joe, I seem to be having a problem with my friend Maurice. He's trying to get in, and he says it's not connecting.
Oh, well, I can hang up and then you can.
No. You don't have to hang up, or you can hang up if you want. But if I'll tell you, if you can, you walk in here and I'll give you this phone number and you can check with them and see if you can get Maurice on here. So, yeah,
I have to go anyway.
Yeah. So, well, good. Let's get you off of here.
OK.
Yeah. Fine. Go learn to speak properly on the air.
Right.
That would help. Okay. Sure. So, here's the phone number, and let me see if I can get this here. I've got it. Hang on. I just had it a minute ago. Well, isn't that stupid? Oh, wait. Here we go. Okay. So the phone number is... Well, isn't that... You know what? I think I'm going to do something else. Let's not even do that because we only have 10 minutes left. I think I could just call him, right?
Yep.
Yeah, just like what we just did, right? Okay. That's the answer. Okay. So hang on. Let's get this in here. Hang on. Just trying to get this call done. There we go. Okay. There we go. So hopefully Maurice will answer. Okay. It looks like that's not happening.
You reach a voicemail to Maurice Scott.
Okay.
Dead baseball.
That's not happening. Okay. Anyway, we'll try again next week. I know that Maurice is off. He teaches, and he's a baseball coach at East St. Louis at the high school. And so I think, we'll get him in from the start, and he'll be on the screen like he was supposed to be. And we'll make that work. Maurice knows what he's doing. He has been a teacher out there in East St. Louis for years, and he was on radio stations all over St. Louis talking about everything from sports to politics, and he's really good, but unfortunately, I'm not getting through. But these things happen. I'm not freaked out over it. It's not the end of the world. But I had a couple of things that I definitely wanted to ask him about, along with what we've already discussed. And so I'm sort of sorry that I can't get him in here. But maybe that's just the way it is, and I'll bet you he can come in tomorrow. I keep forgetting. I keep thinking that today is Friday, but it's not. Does it feel like Friday to you, Joe?
Indeed.
Does it? I wonder why.
I want it to be so bad.
You want it to be. Okay. Well, you know, tomorrow is Good Friday. So, you know, a lot of people are off on Good Friday.
Yeah.
Are you?
No.
I guess not. Okay. So we'll see if we can get Maurice in here tomorrow and answer some of these questions. But I will say that, you know, the country's got a gigantic racial problem. And that may sound obvious, but it's much worse than just saying that. Because it's a problem that is primarily caused by white people who generally across the country are continuing to fight back against the decency that a lot of us thought we were on the way to achieving decades ago. Because, look, you know what's being said. It's all about diversity, equity, and inclusion. These DEI programs are aimed at trying to improve racial conditions in cities all over the United States, and not even just in the inner cities, but trying to bring to white schools a level of understanding about racial problems that would help people to find ways to connect better. I mean, this has been the goal of these DEI programs for years. This is not something that just popped up yesterday. But as you may know from some of the things I said yesterday, but I want to say it again today, you know, just to really clarify this, is that the Attorney General of Missouri is blaming DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. He is blaming, he's using that as the blame for the violence at Hazelwood East just recently. That's his claim. The DEI is the reason for the racial problems that we've got in this country. That trying to create a better environment between white and black people in America, and specifically in schools, that is the reason why we've got excessive violence in this country. Now, that's the Attorney General of the state of Missouri. So, first, you know that he wouldn't be saying that if he didn't think that it was a great way to win votes. He is playing to white fears. He is telling white people, you support what we're doing to get rid of DEI in schools, in businesses. You help us to eliminate this and you'll be safe. That's it. That's the story. I mean, that's coming from our Attorney General in Missouri. It comes from Glenn Youngkin in Virginia. It comes from people all over this country. Now, locally, we can see the results. Frances Howell trying to get rid of not only DEI, but trying to get rid of Black history in black literature as well. And then, of course, there's Rockwood. Rockwood's had the same fight. This is not just one little area. This is everywhere. And Missouri is certainly a leader in this racial interference, interfering with the attempt to bring black and white people together in a sensible way. Missouri is a leader in that. Missouri is trying to stop DEI. Now, there are other states as well. Texas, Oklahoma. But it's all over. Virginia, we know, with Youngkin. And people running for office on the Republican side have taken this up as their way to get votes by scaring white people into voting because somebody's coming to get them. Well, we know who they think is coming. Donald has told us very, very clearly. What did he say? He said that the blood of America is being poisoned by immigrants coming from Africa. Now, if you don't believe that, in 2 minutes when I get off of here, you need to go to YouTube and you need to pull it up because I guarantee you, you'll find it. Now, what you might say is you might tell me that he didn't say only black people, that he included some other groups as well. So, you know, you might be proud of the fact that Donald Trump doesn't just hate whites. He hates other people of color as well. And it's all on YouTube. You can hear it in his words, and then you can probably find it where he walks it back somewhere because that's just his game. Oh, well, we'll deal with him another day, like tomorrow. And in the meantime, keep in mind, Wendy's, Jules on Hampton, and the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. They keep all of this on the air. They're very fine supporters of our shows, and they're great entrepreneurs that run terrific businesses. In the meantime, I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. See you tomorrow. Good night.